Ready, down, hut, 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 hut.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Reaction rolling in this morning about my decision to take an Uber to work this morning as opposed to, you know, the other car that I own that my son took to school this morning. And I'm reading it all, folks. I am reading it all. I do appreciate the folks who have offered to drive me. My friend Shem, who lives down the street, has offered to drive me if this ever happens again. I also have another gentleman on the ESPN Milwaukee Talk and Text line who has offered to drive me. Jason, thank you for the offer. Jason Wilde would drive me as well, I guarantee, if I asked him. Jason, you're just that kind of guy, right?
Yeah, you're welcome for the offer. I used my pseudonym to text in.
Yeah.
So I am new to the Uber game. I had not used it since 2017 after the 2016 NFC Championship game in Atlanta. So I used it a couple times in Minneapolis, so Paul and the girls would have the car, and I didn't have to find parking before Packers-Vikings. But Sydney had a volleyball tournament in Mequon at the facility, Travis Diener's place, and Maddie was competing in a gymnastics meet on the opposite side of Milwaukee and Franklin. And so they took the car, and Sydney and I had to get an Uber to go from Mequon to Franklin. And it was a great, great experience. I could not have been happier as opposed to you this morning. But it is a fascinating, for someone who doesn't use it very often, it is still, when you pause to think about it, random people using their vehicles in a taxi manner, I still can't believe how successful it is, because it is a weird world and I'm still adjusting to it. But it certainly saved us, because we got there in time to see Maddie's last two events, and I got to hang out with Travis Diener while I waited for my ride, so it worked out pretty well.
Yeah, it sounds like a win-win, Jason.
As opposed to yours.
I will continue to update everybody on if I hear back from the old customer service at Uber. Don't hold your breath. News yesterday, Adam Schefter talking about how Rodgers, of course, will not be in New York. But Adam thinks that wherever Rodgers lands, he thinks Davante Adams will go with him. Do you subscribe to that belief as well?
Yeah, especially if Rodgers is coming back to Green Bay to back up Jordan Love. Look, Adam is far more plugged in than me, so I would not dispute whatever theory he has. That said, like, it sure looks to me, unless this is all some sort of big ruse to entertain himself, which I just don't think it is, and I've exchanged messages with him a few times about this. Like, I think Davante Adams wants to come home. I think he thinks Jordan Love has turned out to be better than he looked like he was going to be when he left, and he's looking for a place where he can land that it will be a good fit. I don't think he's married to the idea of going wherever Aaron Rodgers goes. I think he has to do what's best for Davante and for burnishing his Pro Football Hall of Fame resume. And if that happens to be wherever Rodgers lands, great. And if it's not, I think that's okay too. I can't say for certain what exactly that relationship is. Like, I don't think it's like Jordy 2 Electric Boogaloo. Like, I don't think it's the same type of on-field and off-the-field relationship. You know, there were some rumblings when Davante got traded that he wanted to kind of show that he could do it without Rodgers. So, obviously, he was in a bad situation in Vegas. Both he and Rodgers and Woody Johnson thought that it would be magic if they were reunited like Peaches and Herb. It did not turn out that way. So I'm not saying that they won't end up in the same place, but I don't think it's, I personally don't believe it's as clear cut as that idea might be.
Jason, what are the, what are some big dates coming up that we need to look for?
Well, my birthday's Saturday, so you need to look for that. Valentine's Day is Friday, so make sure, Lord knows I know how much trouble you can get into with your wife getting on the wrong side of her, so make sure you're aware of that.
Thank you.
Free agency opens a month from yesterday, so March 10th. So that's your first big date. The scouting combine is at the end of the month. That's obviously a big date. Although, you know, for me, from a reporter's standpoint, that used to be, it used to be the kickoff to the new season, right? I mean, that was really where everyone was, and it was like a carnival, basically, right? All the agents, all the coaches, all the assistant coaches, all the GMs, they were all there. And all the media, frankly. And I think I went to that 20 years in a row, 21 years in a row. And now, not only do I not go, but Matt LaFleur doesn't go. And his coaching staff doesn't go. And a bunch of other head coaches and their coaching staffs don't go, which I still don't understand. Like, this, whatever they are now, $11 billion business or whatever the NFL is, I still can't believe that coaches don't go to the combine, because you never know what information you're going to glean by being there. But that's that. It's that. Then it's the opening of free agency. Then the NFL meetings are in mid to late March. And then obviously the off-season program begins April 15th-ish. And then we're back to rolling into the 2025 season.
Jason, after seeing how everything played out with the Super Bowl, the Eagles run to get that championship, the way they dominated both Washington and Kansas City, how close do you think the Packers actually are to a Super Bowl?
Are you doing the, like, the transitive property thing?
I am not. No, because Jason, okay. I am not there. Like, I look at, it's, to me, it's all matchup dependent for me. Like, yes, the Packers played the Eagles close, but also Jalen Hurts hadn't played in like 3 weeks, was rusty, and then got better as the playoffs went along, right? As he played more, got better as everything went. But to me, my biggest takeaway from this is the Packers could easily be the Washington Commanders in that if they would have been the sixth seed and then played Philadelphia in the NFC Championship game, everybody would be in love with the Packers. Instead, they stumble down the stretch, get the seventh seed, and everybody's kind of wringing their hands about what this team is and isn't.
Yeah, that's outstanding. I mean, I feel a little bit like Mike Holmgren when, remember Dave Benz, Chewy? He was at Fox 11. He was kind of a wacky local TV guy. And I'll never forget, first of all, he asked before the Super Bowl, the week before you guys left, "Coach, you got to wear your greens?" And then my other favorite was, and look, who am I to judge long-winded questions, obviously, right? But he asked, one that even I would have thought, oh my gosh, this is really long. And when he got to the end of it, Mike Holmgren said, "Dave, you just asked me three questions and answered two of them yourself. What do you want me to say?" Gabe, you just delivered brilliant analysis. What do you want me to say? I mean, you're right about everything you said there. And I do think that perception does matter. And what you hit on there, like, I still think the Packers, especially with how well their defense played, and looking at what the Eagles did in the Super Bowl as a template, and I don't think this is prisoner of the moment of, the Eagles won the Super Bowl, we saw replicate what the Eagles did. But I do think that the Eagles provide a pretty good template that the Packers are capable of following to make the next jump to where they want to be, which would be getting into an NFC Championship game and having a chance to have a chance to play in the Super Bowl. But when I look at the Packers, you know, I thought that there were some lessons that they could take from that game. And I gave that list to Tausch yesterday, and he was, I think
he wasn't a big fan. I mean, he liked some of it, but he really went after you about the hitting low budget free agents.
Yeah, which irritated me because he's like a huge Goody stan, and I had evidence that Goody has done that before, right? I mean,
yep.
Plucking Rasul Douglas off the Cardinals practice squad, and for whatever Devondre Campbell became, the year that they signed him in June for him to become a first-team All-Pro, that was Zach Bond-esque, right?
Yeah.
And so you don't always have to sign Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs. Although, again, the Eagles signed Saquon Barkley, so obviously they did that too. But if you hit on one of those inexpensive guys who really helps you, that's part of it. But to me, the biggest thing that we saw, and we've talked about this with those two Giants teams that won Super Bowls, and now we're talking about it with what the Eagles were able to do. Jeff Hafley could not win sending his front four rushers. They were not good enough. They were not skilled enough in the new system, whatever you want to call it. They did not get home with four very often. And the Eagles spent the entire Super Bowl afternoon in the Chiefs' backfield harassing Patrick, as he was called by the analyst for the game, repeatedly. And if the Packers can figure out that piece of it, I just feel like it opens up a world of possibilities for them defensively that I thought Jeff Hafley did a fantastic job, given the fact that his front four wasn't very good. And they still were a top 10 defense. So but I think it's that. Go ahead, Chu.
But, Jason, a little more context here. I mean, everyone talks about how much cap space the Packers have. There's relevant teams in front of them that have more cap space. Washington, Chicago, Minnesota, Detroit, San Francisco. So, I mean, these teams are going to be looking for a Max Crosby and a Miles Garrett. And you know, it's not like, oh, we got the pick of the litter here. Goody's got to hit this thing right in order for them to get better.
Right. And Chewy, what I would argue is that you don't necessarily have to get better by trading for Max Crosby or Miles Garrett. Or Trey Hendrickson, you paid Rashawn Gary like he's one of those players.
Yeah.
He damn well needs to play like that.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you need to do to get him there? You know, I think it's concerning that he had a worse year, an extra year removed from his ACL tear than he had in the season immediately following his ACL tear, right? I mean, that, I don't know what to make of that, because usually it's the opposite. Is Kenny Clark, who spent his entire life in a 3-4 until last year, is something going to click for him? Is LVN going to play like the 13th overall pick? Those are all big ifs. And if you augment that with somebody who can come in and play well right away, great. But again, I think Josh Sweat is a free agent from the Eagles. I'm not saying to go pay him bonko dollars. So you have a guy that was part of that wrecking crew up front for the Eagles in the Super Bowl. I'm just saying, however you do it, right? If Brenton Cox Jr. comes out of nowhere, because we did see flashes from him, and he's like the new Kabir without the crazy religious stuff, maybe then you're able to get this done. My point is simply that there's a roadmap to being yourself still, but also being more adept in some areas where you were deficient. The other one that I brought up to Tausch, and I think it was the only one that he actually acknowledged was a good one, was they got to get more out of Love with his legs. 83 total rushing yards, even with the injuries he had, he was not a threat to opposing defenses. And I remember going all the way back to like Ed Donatell, and the Packers getting so frustrated by Dante Culpepper on 3rd and 11, and you got Randy Moss covered, and then he takes off and runs for 14 yards. And that is devastating to defenses. How many times did Jordan Love do that?
Mm-hmm.
Not very many. Mm-hmm. So those are all, I think these are all attainable goals for the 25 team that will make them a better team.
Jason, good stuff. We appreciate you. Have a good one, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, my Uber's here. I got to go. Take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. Listen to him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Okay, he brings something up that I think is interesting. Do the deficiencies on the defensive line have more to do with the players underperforming or Goody missing at those spots? I want to dive into that right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.
Guys, I'm telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, the Jewelry Center is the only place to go for the ring. They're the best place to shop for diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee for a reason. It's what I did. Didn't know that what my now wife exactly wanted, but I had some ideas. If you have no idea, maybe go to our Pinterest board. Bring those in. Because what, to me, what separates the Jewelry Center from everybody else, the helpful team that they have assembled, whether you go to Brookfield, Greenfield, or in Burlington, and then they're going to point you in the right direction. Whether you're looking for lab-grown diamonds, naturally mined diamonds, whatever you are in the market for when it comes to an engagement ring, the Jewelry Center has it. Check out the inventory. ShopTJC.com. Stop in at any one of their three locations. And when you head to the Jewelry Center, tell them that Gabe and Chew sent you.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Any of those things, because it's like, I'm sorry, I'm burping up my apple right there. That's what that was. I wasn't pausing for effect. I literally was burping
my apple.
All right,
can we just go to break?
No.
On 94.5 ESPN.